presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, did you know that there's a new plane that's so easy to fly that anyone who can drive a car can become a pilot in about 7 hours? Well, sir, it's true. The name of this super easy-to-fly light plane is the Aircoupe, spelled E-R-C-O-U-P-E. And it's easy to spot because it has a low wing, it's all metal, as bright as a new penny, and it has tricycle landing gear. You don't find that often on a light plane. Well, maybe you'd feel uneasy going up with a pilot who had only 7 hours of instruction in his air coupe. But wait a minute. This plane is as safe to fly as it is easy to fly. You know what causes so many accidents in light planes, don't you? It's the spin. A spin is that merry-go-round dive that begins when a plane stalls. The nose drops rapidly into one side, and the plane goes into a spin. That is, any plane but an air coupe. The Civil Aeronautics Administration says it's impossible to spin an air coupe. If you pull back on the wheel and stall the plane, it merely levels off and regains flying speed. Isn't that something? And hand in hand with spin-proof safety is that three-wheel landing gear, the same type gear the big army ships have. It means that three-point landings are simple as pie. Why, just touch the ground and the air coupe settles down without bouncing. And on the ground, the pilot has visibility right in front of the plane's nose because he's sitting level, not angled back as in two-wheel planes. I'll tell you more about the Aircoupe later on, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. As a result of the strange and unexplainable appearance of ghostly enemy fighter planes and the disastrous crash of one of its giant transports, the Ace Flying Service is on the verge of ruin. To further complicate matters, Hop and Tank are suspected of murder, with Inspector Fry of the New Orleans Detective Bureau ready to make an arrest at any moment. Then, in our last episode, the boys took a DC-4 on a cargo flight north to Kansas City, accompanied by Paul Conroy. The trip was smooth and uneventful until, 100 miles west of Little Rock, Arkansas, one of the weirdly glowing enemy fighters suddenly appeared, a Jap Zero, which turned directly into the airliner's path, making a head-on run. Momentarily frozen with horror, Hawk, Tank, and Paul could only stare at the Zero, and above the roar of their engines, heard the rattle of machine gun fire and the ghostly voice of the enemy pilot.
No, Yankee pilot! No, you will die! You have taken my life, and I shall be avenged!
Spock, did you hear that?
Possible, I must be going crazy.
We're all going crazy.
Snap out of it, both of you.
They're shooting at us.
None of the bullets are landing, are they?
That voice. I can't get over it.
Forget the voice. The plane's heading straight for us.
Jump, Jennings. You'll pile right into it.
Another fight can help it.
Get her up. It's still coming.
Oh, no, it isn't. It's going to pass under us.
Hey, what's that?
Number 4 prop broke off.
Feather it quick and douse the engine before she starts to burn.
Okay.
Where's the Zero?
Should be behind us. Pass right under us.
Not quite much, either.
Stand by. I may come back for another run.
Hey, there it is, behind, to the left.
Is it coming around?
No, it's falling. It's going down out of control.
What?
Look.
What? I'll be. Could have happened.
Hang on. I'm going after it.
Hey, Bob, we only got 3 engines left.
We'll be all right. Spot that plane for me.
I'm watching it. Still going down.
I don't get it. We didn't hit it, did we?
It must have hit something, or that propeller wouldn't have broken off.
Yeah, but I swear the Zero went under it.
Yes, that's what I thought, too.
Hey, Scott, what's that?
The Zero exploded. It's going down in flames.
For the love of Pete, what's going on around here?
Tank, check our position. Find out exactly where she's going down.
Roger. Look at her, burning like a Roman candle. Wings and all. You going to follow her all the way down?
Yes. Then we're coming back to pay that ship a visit.
Okay, Hop, I got her spotted.
You sure?
Uh-huh. On the button. We'll find it all right. It just hit the ground.
Ain't going to be much left after that fire's through with it.
I don't care if nothing's left but ashes. I want to see them.
Hop, you better pull off or you'll be seeing ashes sooner than you expect.
No, thanks, Paul.
Gosh, if that don't beat everything. Here we was expecting to see a Zero. Hoping to see it. When we do, we get buck fever. Honest, I never was so scared.
scared in all my life.
You have nothing on me. I'll bet my hair's turned white.
How do you think those poor guys fell last night before they crashed?
Yes, and Vinny.
Vinny. I don't know about that.
Tank.
What do you mean, Tank?
Nothing, Skip.
Now, wait a minute. Talk.
Forget it. I was just running off at the mouth like I always do.
You know something. What is it?
Nothing, I tell you.
Heads up. What's the matter?
There's another plane up there. I just spotted the exhaust flares.
Where?
5:00. Running without navigation lights.
Hey, that means something.
I'll say it does. Snap off our lights.
We'll get in trouble.
Have to risk it, sorry. I want to follow it.
Okay. They're off.
Now, keep your eyes on those exhaust flares.
Now, look, this isn't a gag, is it? You're not trying to steer me off Vinny, are you?
Of course not. We'll explain later. Right now, we've got to keep that plane in sight. This may be just the break we're looking for.
Holding the DC-4 at 1,000 feet, Hop begins the pursuit of the flickering blue lights high above, jockeying his ship carefully and skillfully to avoid being seen. The mysterious plane holds a steady course westward for a half hour, then begins a slow, gradual descent.
Hop, I think it's going in for a landing. Better be careful.
Right.
Do you really think that plane has something to do with a jet fighter?
I can't be sure it hasn't. Why would it be riding without navigation lights if it wasn't up to some kind of monkey business?
Down to our level now. We're about 2 miles behind it.
And still losing altitude. I must be going in for a landing.
You won't be able to see the exhaust flares in a minute.
I'll drop down a little myself.
Watch it. We ain't got too much ceiling.
Now, this is all flatland, Tank.
Hey,
look at that string of lights burning up ahead.
Oh, yeah. The plane's heading straight for them.
It must be runway marker lights.
You're right. It's lining up with them.
Tank, you know where we are?
Got a pretty good idea, but I'll check.
Well, hurry up.
There. The landing lights just went on. This is its base, all right.
Can you see anything down there? Any distinguishing landmarks?
Well, it's a couple of buildings. One looks like a big barn.
Any roads?
Yes, over to the left. State highway, I think. The rest is open field.
Okay, Hop, I know where we are. Good. Then let's get out of here fast.
Better head for the bank of clouds up there before the guy who's flying that ship spots our exhaust flare.
Oh, he's right in the landing. He's too busy to turn around.
Yeah, but somebody else may be down there.
I think we'll make it. I'm keeping my right wing low. That'll shield our flares a little.
So what do we do now? Head for Kansas City?
If there aren't any other interruptions.
But we're coming back here, ain't we?
I'll say we are. As soon as we finish this flight.
All right now, boys. Suppose you tell me what you meant about Vinny.
Gosh, Paul.
Give it to him straight, Tank. He'll have to know sooner or later.
Well, spill it. Last night, we saw somebody hanging around your office. He was inside arguing with Craig. It was just before we came in.
Well?
Vinny was supposed to be home in bed, wasn't he?
That's what Bert told me.
Well, he wasn't. He was outside one of the windows listening to everything you were saying.
You're crazy.
We saw him, Paul.
It was dark. He must be mistaken.
Sorry, pal. We weren't. We got a good look at him.
But why? Why would Vinny do a thing like that?
I don't know. Tell me, did you know him long before you went into partnership with him?
Well, no, not too long. A couple of months, maybe.
And how well do you know Craig?
Well, I met him overseas during the war. We bummed around together. We talked about starting an airline even then. When I finally saw my way clear, I got in touch with him.
So you knew Craig better than you knew Vinny?
Yes. Now, look here. You don't think Vinny's behind all this, do you?
We don't think anything right now.
The way you're talking, I don't understand.
Listen, the way it stacks up now, there's a bad leak in your organization somewhere. I'm pretty sure that Martin, that pilot who quit on you, is in a mess up to his neck. But he can't work alone. He needs an inside contact.
I can't believe that Vinny would...
Nobody's accusing Vinny of anything. His behavior last night was a little strange, but he may have had a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Well, as soon as we get back to New Orleans, I'll wring it out of him.
You'll do nothing of the kind. Right now, we have two other leads to work on. The Jap Zero and this plane we just trailed. When we get the score on those angles, we'll lay our cards on the table and start pitching. But not before.
Hop is firm, insistent, as he outlines his plan of action. Paul finally shrugs his shoulders in reluctant agreement. Will these two clues lead to anything? We'll know about one in just a moment, gang, so stand by. Gang, if you went shopping for a light plane, what would you want? Well, you'd want safety, reasonable speed and range, and you'd want a plane that would be easy to fly. Then you'd look for smart styling, comfort, and the ability to land and take off on small airfields near your home and near beaches and fishing streams and mountain lakes. If that would fill the bill for you, then you would definitely be interested in the Air Coupe. For here's a light plane that has just about everything. It's a beauty, all metal, and with plenty of room for one passenger and luggage. It'll fly 500 miles nonstop and deliver 22 miles to a gallon of gas. Top speed is 175 miles an hour, and it cruises at a neat 110. The aircoupe will take off at a speed of 45 miles an hour and climb 750 feet in the first 60 seconds. Now, but that's only the beginning. When you fly an aircoupe, you have only one control, the wheel. No rudder pedals to push. You just turn the wheel the way you want to go, and if you want altitude, pull back. To go down, push forward. And when you do go down, you have three wheels under you, equipped with hydraulic brakes. You make easy three-point landings, and you can stop short without nosing over because of that wheel under the nose. And get this, the aircoupe is certified spin-proof. Try all you like, you can't put an aircoupe into a spin. That's why it made a reputation in jig time as the safest flying machine that ever turned a bird green with envy. Take a good look next time you see a flock of light planes. Maybe you'll see this silver streamliner. And if you do, you're getting an eyeful of modern sky transportation. The aircoupe. Get ready to fly, gang, and always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Completing the flight to Kansas City and delivering the cargo safely, Pop, Tank, and Paul wait only for a replacement propeller on the number 4 engine and, after a fast check to ensure perfect operation, return to New Orleans. Scorning breakfast, much to Tank's disgust, they climb into the Beechcraft and fly north again to the area where they had seen the Jap Zero fall in flame.
We should be getting close, shouldn't we, Tank?
A couple of miles more. All this heading.
Now, has the CAA reported on the crash?
No. I checked carefully.
Well, I guess nobody saw it go down then.
I don't see how they could have missed it. It went down like a ball of fire.
That puzzles me.
What? It went down in flames?
Yes, tank exploded.
Well, why? And why did it go down at all? You saw how it fell completely out of control.
Oh, we must have clipped it with our prop. That's why it broke.
Yeah, but you two are absolutely sure it passed right under us. And another thing, have you ever seen a plane burn like that?
Like what?
That seemed to break out in flames all over at the same time. Wings, fuselage, tail assembly.
So?
Tank, you've seen enough planes go down to know that fire usually starts in the engine. Or at the wing roots where the tanks are.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll find out what happened when we examine what's left.
The other four were on top of it.
Where is it?
You see it? No, I mean, this is the spot I marked on the map last night. And there's the road, see? River on that side. The airway's beacon to the north. The wreck should be right under us.
Tank, it isn't there.
Huh? There's no sign of it. Tank, you've made a mistake.
I didn't. I had it pinned down perfect. Look at the map yourself.
Road, river, beacon. Yeah, this is the position, all right.
Well, then where is it, Hop? What's happened to the wreck?
Completely bewildered, Hop, Tank, and Paul stare below where they see gently rolling ground, open fields, and patches of bare rock. But no sign of a crash. And yet, not 12 hours before, they saw a flaming plane hit the ground at that very spot. Gang, the mystery deepens in our next exciting episode, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Come on, Pop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Pop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.